see, I watched the Avon lady in my hood. She popped her trunk and sell her products. So I put all my CDs and cassettes in the back of my trunk, and I hit every city, every hood. My grandfather said, "Why are you gonna call it No Limit?" I said, "Because I don't have no limit to what I could do."
You ain't gotta say too much from the look in your eyes. I can tell you wanna fuck.
You ain't gotta call me your boo. Just as bad as you wanna fuck, I wanna fuck too.
Welcome to the Frustrated Grad Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Hughes, the black dude who eats bacon and ketchup, and it's a reference from Big Brother Canada this week that nobody will get, but my
including me.
My co-host is writer, movie fan, wrestling fan, and guy who honestly thought it would be easier, Tony Hoffman.
I mean, bacon, they have like those bacon potato, or not bacon, ketchup potato chips in Canada.
Yeah.
It's ketchup chips, Ruffles, I think, makes them.
Yeah, they have a really weird obsession with ketchup in Canada. I don't understand it. I hate ketchup. It was something I used a lot as a kid, but now it's just like I stay away.
What do you put on your French fries?
Salt.
Salt?
Yeah, it's like if my fries are salty enough, then I don't feel like I need any sauce. But, like, it really has to be some really bland fries for me to want to dip them in ketchup. I have to be backed into a corner, but my wife loves
Don't
ketchup.
So Zachy in a corner.
Zachy. So how was your week, Tony?
It was pretty not that eventful. You know, here in Chicago, we went from reasonably mild spring weather to kind of wintery weather right now.
Yeah.
And you know, yesterday in particular, which was Saturday, cold and rainy, didn't feel like doing much that day except
same.
Staying in the house and watching TV.
Yeah, that was pretty much the story of my Saturday as well. The week was slightly more eventful. I ended up seeing, I watched Split finally. Because that came out on Redbox and all the DVD services. Have you seen
M. Night
Split?
Shyamalan?
Yeah.
Is M. Night Shyamalan back? As everyone keeps saying.
It's funny. We're talking about this as the reason that he was back. But I actually like his prior movie, The Visit. Did you ever see that one?
Is that the one where the two kids?
They go visit their grandparents. And are you prepared to be spoiled, or should I save the reveal of that movie?
Care.
Okay, well, the twist in that movie was that, the kids go see the grandparents, and then crazy stuff starts happening. They basically realize the grandparents are nuts. But the twist is that they're not actually their grandparents. And, like, the way it plays out, it was I enjoy the whole ride of that movie because it's just like creepy as hell. This old lady's like basically the exorcist walking around the house every night naked, so it's just like weird and creepy. And I would say I'm surprised I didn't hear any like people get triggered by this movie, because it really reinforces young people's natural fears of the elderly. And it just justifies them. It's just like, yeah, I was already scared of old people, and this makes it worse. Because there was nothing supernatural about it. It's just that there were really fucked up, creepy old people. So, I like
everyone
that movie.
Should fear the elderly.
Yeah.
They're old and creepy.
Yeah, so with that movie, I felt like Shyamalan was back. But Split, I actually liked too.
And we're getting a sequel to not only with this movie, but Unbreakable.
Yeah, like, because apparently that was the twist everybody was talking about. Because I try to avoid spoilers, but I heard the twist. They were like, "Oh, you won't believe the twist at the end of Split." And then I heard separate things saying like, "Oh, the sequel to Unbreakable will also be a sequel to Split because they're potentially shared universe. So then I watch Split and I'm waiting for this big twist ending. But the twist is only that it's connected to Unbreakable. It's like, that's not a twist, really. It's just like in another aspect of the story, just a broader outlook on it. Because it doesn't affect the outcome of the movie at all. But it's just like, okay, these are connected. Cool. I was waiting for a big, like, somebody to pull a Scooby-Doo style mask off. And, like, I was waiting for James McAvoy to be revealed as Bruce Willis from Unbreakable. But that it wasn't quite as fun as that. But but they're in a shared universe. So it's kind of shaping up to be, like, a dark, fucked up version of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which I'm on board for. Because, like, to have a creepy villain played by Samuel Jackson, whose ability is that he can constantly break his bones when you're used to people who cannot break their bones, that's an interesting take on the superhero genre. So I'm ready for it.
I'm surprised you didn't see The Circle with Emma Watson this past week.
Well, in terms of movies I would see in a theater, I was thinking about The Circle prior to it coming out, but something else came up. I got the chance to go to a free screening of a movie that apparently, I didn't know this at the time, apparently this movie isn't even out yet, but it is. What? The Guy Ritchie directed King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. And for,
yeah, I've seen ads for that.
Yeah. So for the home viewer, this is the poster I got at the screening. It basically looks like a playing card with a king on it. But
is this like the gritty, dark Knights of the Round Table King Arthur story with the jacks from Sons of Anarchy?
Well, partially. The weird thing about it, I did a review for it on my channel, and I don't know, like, I guess I kind of spoiled stuff from it, but, like,
how could you spoil the story? It's like, that
was the way I justified it to myself. It was like, what's the King Arthur story? So you know how it ends. So I just got into it. So really, the thing that stood out to me the most was that, like, from the trailer, you think it's going to be like this hybrid of, like, something like Game of Thrones mixed with Lord of the Rings, just like one of these medieval supernatural war epic movies. But the thing that surprised me the most about it was the Guy Ritchie-ness of it all. It's just like, wow, I didn't ever want this outlook on this medieval time period. Like, have you ever seen the movie Snatch? Snatch was a heist movie, British heist movie. Basically,
weird,
like,
edits and stuff.
Yeah, basically like Ocean's 11, where they're going over, like, the details of the heist. Like, first you sneak in here, then this person unlocks the gate, and da da da. And they do all this, like, whipping camera movements to illustrate what they're talking about.
Does he do this in this movie?
He does that in the King Arthur movie, like, so weird, and, like, it takes me out of the movie completely. It's just like, okay, first you man this tower and you get your arrow ready. You have to shoot this shot from 175 yards back. Are you ready to do that? And then it's like all these illustrations of how these people have to be in position to basically attack this king, but they're doing it in the way that you would expect somebody to describe a heist. It's just like, you got to be in position, and then all you see is this whipping camera movements. The illustrator's just like, this doesn't fit at all. And you mentioned Jax from Sons of Anarchy, Charlie Hunnam, I think is the guy's name.
Yeah,
I didn't know he was British, but apparently he is. But, like, he has basically the same haircut as he has in Sons of Anarchy, like the, you know, that modern era mullet where it's just like shaved on the side. I think his hair actually might have been longer in Sons of Anarchy, but he has like the shaved on the sides with the long hair on top, and it doesn't look time period appropriate. I mean, this time period is not realistic in the term of, like, there were no, I mean, they didn't have dragons in this movie, but there were no medieval creatures at any point in England. But I would expect it to be somewhat similar to a time you would recognize.
I just saw the ad for this movie, and it reminded me of, you ever see that movie, A Knight's Tale, with the Heath Ledger from, like,
I never saw it, but I'm familiar with the marketing.
Or they used all the music, the like, the Queen music and all that rock music.
Okay.
It's supposed to be, like, medieval time. That's what just kind of reminded me of it.
Yeah, like, it looks a lot like a music video. And then, like, yeah. the clothing was not very period accurate. Like, Charlie Hunnam, who is the titular King Arthur, he basically is dressed like a British pimp for the entire movie. Like, wears his long fur coat. And, like, by all means, he is a, like, street-level crime boss. Which is a weird way to think of the person who would be King Arthur.
And does Jeffrey Rush play Merlin? Because I know that he's in the movie.
I don't think Merlin ever even shows up. They just,
wow.
Like, there's a little bit of a preamble or whatever of what happened with Arthur's father, who ends up being, I guess the story is that Arthur's father was the king, and then his child was thought to be dead, and then he comes back to take the throne or whatever. So there's
who does Jeffrey Rush play?
He plays the father, actually. Well, no, Eric Bana is the father. I'm trying to think. Jeffrey Rush. I'm trying to see
some older guy.
Yeah, I can't even remember him specifically. Oh. What he did in there.
I can't wait until Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 comes out next week, because the past couple of weeks have been pretty bare in terms of movie-going options.
Yeah, because I think when this King Arthur movie is supposed to come out, it's the week after Guardians, so I'll predict that Guardians is going to be
destroyed.
Number one for its second season above this movie.
Second weekend.
Yeah, a second weekend. So it's the movie was interesting overall, but it's just a lot of weird things that distracted.
For a movie you didn't pay for.
Yeah. One thing I did like about it, there's these, like, I think you see them in the trailer, but these, like, giant elephants the size of mountains that are just, like, destroying shit. But it's like they're only around in the beginning of the movie, and then you never see them again.
Wow, something cool, and then we have them taken away.
Yeah. But check out my YouTube channel for a deeper dive on the good and the bad of King Arthur: Legend of the Sword, which I think should be called King Arthur's Big Score, because it's more of a heist movie than it is a King Arthur movie. But yeah.
Do you ever like pre-order for movies that are coming out? Because I know that, like, Guardians is going to be like a big.
Yeah, I've only thought of doing it for Guardians, and then I checked the theater that I go to. I checked for tickets there for this coming Thursday showing. Sold out.
So, wow.
I think there's a couple seats in the other theaters, but they're like the IMAX ones, and they're way too expensive. So I might wait for the following Tuesday. I really don't want to, but that may end up being the case, but we'll see. So people were on top of that, that hot Guardians ticket, because there's, I think at the theater I go to, there's only one 3D showing for the Thursday night, and that one sold out, like, it seems like for a full week in advance, so there you go.
So what you're saying is that you don't think, like, a movie like Unforgettable has a chance at challenging Guardians at the box office?
I didn't even know what Unforgettable was. I just had seen, like, a poster that with Rosario Dawson on it. It's like, oh, okay. I'm interested based on this poster, but I didn't know anything about the movie.
It just reminds me of, like, these, like, recent shitty, like, like, when the bow breaks, or
yeah, like these like single white females,
thriller.
What's the old one? Hand That Rocks the Cradle? I remember those movies that I wasn't supposed to be seeing in theaters, but, like, I would go see him with my aunt or my mom, somebody. But yeah, there's a resurgence of these. Beyonce was in one of those a little while back.
What was the name of that movie? Was
Obsessed.
Her, I think Obsessed. Yeah. Horrible.
It should have, like, it was a missed opportunity in casting, too, because they should have cast Mariah Carey, because she had that song that was a very thinly veiled diss at Eminem. So they could have done a movie version of that. All right.
So, are you a fan of Orange Is the New Black? Because I know that this story broke about these hackers.
Yeah.
Over the weekend.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. And like most people who watch Orange Is the New Black, I'm more of a fan of the supporting characters than the character that is based on the person who wrote
Piper.
The book. Yeah, like she's the main character, and she's the reason this whole thing exists, and nobody likes her.
Most boring cat.
Yeah.
How is she still in prison? Didn't her like sentence like?
Yeah, I think in real life her sentence was shorter than as depicted on the show, but they're just like, okay, well, what else can we do?
She keeps doing dumb shit.
She's selling underwear from. Worn underwear from the women of the prison to outsiders online, and there's a lot of shenanigans that ensue on the show.
So like these I guess these hackers were able to like they were able to like get episodes from like whatever editing company that edits this and like other shows and stuff, and they tried to like hold them ransom, and Netflix basically didn't,
yeah, they said, know, fuck you, we're not paying your rent.
As anyone should.
Yeah, and then they leaked them.
Yeah.
I
don't understand what the whole end game was with doing that.
I mean, I guess they were the entertainment version of Edward Snowden. Like, Netflix is lying to you. They're holding your episodes. Just like, I don't know.
Yeah, because I think I read, like, some stupid letter, or I think they, like, either they tweeted or they posted something online where it's like, yeah, we got these episodes, man. We can hold these people.
Like, yeah, like, watch out, Fox. Watch out, ABC.
Yeah.
We're coming for you, Amazon Originals. It's just like, okay. It's like,
whatever.
Like, as much of a fan of piracy as I once was, I don't really support this, especially for Netflix. It's like, it's very easy to access shows on Netflix for a very reasonable price.
Yep.
Don't pirate them. Like, if there's anybody you're going to steal content from, don't do it for Netflix. They put a lot of time and effort into producing content that they give to you for almost free. So
I just imagine these have to be like a bunch of like teenage white dudes, like little kids that aren't very intelligent with how the world works.
Yeah.
Living at home.
Yep. Those damn millennials. As I've heard a lot. But yeah, so don't view the pirated episodes of Orange is the New Black.
I was going to ask, are you going to go look for them?
Nah.
The torrents?
Plus, as big as a public leak as this is, they're probably being watched very closely. Like, one of the scariest things that can ever happen to you is to receive a cease and desist letter from a major studio.
Oh, do you know from experience?
I will not confirm or deny such experience. I'm just saying that would be, I've heard, one of the scariest things that could ever happen to you, especially if it were to happen at your place of work. But moving on.
Did you check out Dear White People, the TV show on Netflix? Speaking of Netflix,
yeah, I actually watched the first two episodes over this Friday and Saturday. And
is it a sitcom or a drama? Or
it's under the category of comedy. Like, the episodes are 30 minutes, so that's how I lump it into the comedy genre. But I would say that I kind of have the same problems with the show as I did with the movie.
Is probably, it the same main characters from the movie?
It's the same main characters, not the same actors. They've been recast. But it's weird because it kind of reminds me of the first thing that comes to mind is Clueless from back in the day when they did the TV adaptation of it. It's just like, you're not Alicia Silverstone.
No Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah. And you're definitely no Stacey Dash. I've seen Stacey Dash, and you, ma'am, are no Stacey Dash. But it's weird because there's a mix of people who were actually in the movie and
actors like, who aren't as big that were available.
Yeah, it's like the main actor. I can't remember her name, but the main actor, actress who was in Dear White People, she got pretty big after that movie came out, so she was clearly not available. But then her supporting,
time for that.
Yeah, but some of her supporting cast are still there, so it, like it really looks bad on them. Like this woman went on to be in Selma and some other like big stuff after that, and then it's like you're still in Dear White People, and like what makes it worse is that it isn't an expansion on like okay, this is what happened after the events of the movie. They're basically telling the same story of the movie, and they're taking like slight turns, but they still are heading to the same story. Like, I'm thinking maybe they're going to branch out after, like, basically the climax of Dear White People is that, all the black people from like the black student union and these few people that were on this like Harvard-like university campus, they basically raid this blackface party that this white fraternity is hosting, and that's like basically the climax of the movie. So the show is like the events that are going on, at least from these first two episodes that I've seen, are all surrounding that party and like, oh, who sent out the invite and da, da, da. And it's like, I would like to, like, I've seen the movie. This is probably okay for people who never saw the movie to be retold this story, but it's like, I don't, like nothing is happening in my opinion. So that's, it's kind of weird. And like the same problem I have with the movie that I have with the show is that its outlook, I don't think it really has like a solution to the problems that they're posing. Just like, oh, these are problems. Like people are racist and they do these things and it's pretty fucked up that they want to touch your hair and da, da, da. And then like, then you see like the same reason in real life why a lot of, problems haven't been fixed. They're just like ramming their head into a wall, just the same way on the show. It's like, okay, you want to have black empowerment and achieve the same levels of success as white people, but then you see all these inner conflicts within the community. It's like, well, can't rise together if we're not together. So I don't see the show really solving anything like that, but that is a big task to tackle. So I don't know, as of right now I'm still mixed on how I feel about the show.
I think I'll pass. I mean, it's like just reading like sort of reviews and the premise of like the movie and stuff, it seemed okay, but you know, I don't think I need to like actually watch like the movie to know something that I already know.
I would say if the choice was to be made, like which one is worthwhile, seeing the movie or the show, as two episodes in as I am, which is in a good place
to
judge from.
Where are they going to go with this?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, this show has no legs, especially if they're not going to go past the events of the movie. But I would say if you were to choose, the movie has elements that are interesting and, like a movie you can watch and it be like a slice of life, one of those like small indie comedies that like nothing really happens, but you kind of enjoyed the 90 minutes you spent watching it.
It would be cool if it was like, if the show was just like sort of like these separate events of like, you know, like race in America, like different characters and different people and like these different situations like in America.
They definitely should have been the angle they took with the show, because I was even hoping this was what was going to happen with the movie, but I was just like, this is a very niche, self-contained situation that a lot of black people specifically haven't even experienced. So it's just like, well, the good job looking through your own lens at your own situation for your own audience. But So I would hope that they branch out, because they're talking about, like, Sandra Bland and Fernando Castillo and all these people who were, like, victims of police brutality, but we don't see anything, like, that, like, directly relates to that. It's just, like, people in... which is one of the arguments you would get about college kids, like they've got their heads on their own asses. It's basically people with their heads up their asses arguing with each other about real issues in the outer world, but they're not experiencing any of those actual issues. So it's just like, well, you're a black kid at Harvard, let's just say Harvard because that's what it's supposed to be, but it's like, you're a black kid at Harvard talking about the ills of the black community, but you're not experiencing any of that. So
But what I saw on TV and heard about.
Yeah, so it's just like, okay. Like, you all got in, so you've got a leg up on a lot of the people you're supposed to be advocating for. So maybe your take on this isn't as relevant as, like, the person on the street in the protest. Like, you're just marching on your campus because it was, like, walking distance. So, whatever.
Speaking of... about a bunch of sheltered, spoiled kids. Have you heard about this? What's it called? The Fire Festival? Like a fiery festival?
I saw a headline for a YouTube video about it, but I didn't investigate further. What is the Fire Festival? It's like fire with a Y, right?
It was supposed to be like this super cool, debaucherous, like, music and, you know, whatever festival.
Like Burning Man?
Like, I think it was just like a straight up just like music fest.
Okay.
But it was like, it was supposed to be like in the Bahamas with like celebrities and like a whole bunch of other like luxurious shit.
Okay.
And like, celebrities were like paid to like show up, like Kendall Jenner and a bunch of models and shit. And like Ja Rule apparently was like one of the organizers, which is interesting.
Well, if Ja Rule's in charge, then you know it's set up for success.
Tickets for this thing was like $2,000, $5,000 or stuff. So like the people who could afford to go there were just a bunch of like spoiled
taste, you know, makers and douchebags. Okay.
And apparently, apparently the whole thing was like an epic disaster because the weather was terrible and like all of the whole experience was a lot different than what it was. It was pretty much just like, you know, like shitty like flights getting canceled and like, okay, like the food wasn't what it was supposed to be, and like it was the whole like event or area was like a disaster like area and shit.
like I said, Ja Rule was involved. All right, so that, yeah, because I heard like, oh, here's what happened at the Fire Festival. Like, what's the deal? Like, what?
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
So, yeah, it sounds like it was no Catalina boat party or whatever. What was the big event in the Step Brothers? I think it was Catalina boat party that they were all leading up to. It was a major deal, but this one is not quite as successful as that, it seems.
The Fire Festival, a fancy multi-day music event in the Bahamas that promised an experience fit for a king or a queen, turned into what attendees called a wretched dystopian debacle that makes Gilligan's Island seem like a cool vacation destination.
To me, this sounds kind of like the origin story of the zombie virus from iZombies. Just like it was horrible. There's a boat party. Everyone was infected. I can see the story of this massive failure being a great movie adaptation.
That's what apparently Seth Rogen
mentioned
on Twitter, that he was making it. I don't know if he's actually making a movie.
I hope so.
that was about a fucked up music festival that he had already planned on doing.
Okay, and they're just going to like tweak some names around. They're like, okay, we have to get Ja Rule for this role.
No, but I think that he had already been planning to make one before this happened.
Okay.
You just sort of like mentioned that on Twitter.
Great. It's like whatever. Super relevant now. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
Now we got to fast track this thing.
$4,000 to $250,000 for a group VIP package.
What the fuck? Like,
yeah.
Ugh. That's ridiculous.
Half-built tents, feral dogs, and catered food. That was little more than limp cheese sandwiches.
Limp cheese sandwiches. Well, there you go. Sometimes posted you in, don't get what you pay for.
Posted in January, a video promoting the festival features models like Bella Hadid and Chanel Iman partying near fancy boats. Organizers promised to stay on a private island and and the use of modern eco-friendly geodesic domes. The lineup was set to include acts like Blink-182, dropped out, Pusha T, Migos, Ray
Shrimmert.
Yeah, thank you. And Tyga.
Tyga. Just based on the lineup, that definitely wasn't worth the ticket price. I guess maybe for the atmosphere, but I wouldn't have paid that much for those people.
Well, when you're, you know, you're some rich kid and mommy and daddy's paying for everything, you know, no skin off your back.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be like, maybe it would have been like Coachella, where Migos basically showed up during everyone's set and performed Bad and Bougie over and over again. But it's still not worth the ticket price. So
hey, did you see the lineup for I think it was like North Coast Fest or something came up?
No, who was on that lineup? All these festivals, is this a new one? Coast Fest, like South by Southwest? Now there is this North by Northwest.
They have it like every year.
Okay.
In Chicago.
All right.
And I think it's like Union Park.
Okay.
Near like Ashland and was it Ashland Lake?
Okay.
They have every year. My gym is nearby.
All
right. I think like Chance the Rapper is gonna be there. I believe in Gucci Mane.
Gucci Mane. Yeah.
Gonna be there. No, not Chance the Rapper. I'm sorry. Deadmau5, Gucci Mane, Damian Marley.
Okay.
Big Boy.
The best Marley. Damian.
Yeah. A whole bunch of other bands I haven't heard of.
Well,
I'm sure our younger listeners have.
Yeah. That's the thing is, like, I feel the divide of building bigger every year. Like, when, like, people I find out about are just like, oh, this person is huge online. It's just like, I've never heard of them. Like, I'm becoming more and more detached.
Yeah.
Because I'll still, I guess I'll go against the grain of a lot of people presently, but still not a really big fan of Chance the Rapper.
I'm not either.
Just his styles,
he doesn't have like a hit song that's like.
Yeah, even with that, like, I've given him a chance and listened to an album, but it's just like his style, like, he reminds me far too much of younger kids watching this may not know who I'm talking about, but he reminds me too much of Silk Common? The Shocker.
Oh,
okay. This is like how his rhymes are just like always offbeat, and it's just like it's an acquired taste. Like, it's obviously he's delivering the lines how he wants to, but it's just like it makes me think too much of Silk the Shocker. Like, are you listening to the same instrumental as everyone else? Just like, okay.
Do you, there was this movie that Silk the Shocker was in. It used to come on like DT shit, like late at night. It was like some horrible movie where he was like his girlfriend gets like framed for something and
it was sounds and, like familiar.
Gary Busey was
shit. I know I'm not gonna remember the name, but yeah, No Limit was very prolific with like movies and everything. They were like, they had their hands in every pot when they were
Master
big.
P.
Yeah, like this one. It's funny that it's weird, and I don't know why exactly the connection was made, but like, and on Solange's latest album, which is pretty good, there's a lot of like vignettes of Master P like talking about his success.
I guess, fuck, why?
This is like his, I guess this was their version of like the DJ Khaled meme of just him rambling on about like, this is how you succeed. And it is basically Master P talking about like, the journey he went on of making No
Limit
2.
What the hell does that have to do with Salon?
Yeah, I don't understand it, but it's just like, it just comes up in between, like after songs. It's just like a vignette of Master P, like talking. But,
does he go like,
he talks about, I think he describes the origin of, and the No Limit tanks and all the, like, military
imagery. The mystical origin of,
the mystical origin of mystical. But it was weird, but it's like, I did, like, looking back, it was like, that dude was, like, the black Bill Gates, like, at that time. Like, he really was, like, doing everything. Like, people like Diddy or somebody like.
He put his kids to work.
Yeah. But, like, people like Diddy and other people like that would get, like, the respect of being, like, this uber businessman. But Master P was just, like, yeah, Master P was, like, the originator. Like, they had No Limit film company. They had all the artists. They had their albums. They had a cell phone company.
No beepers?
Yeah. They had beepers, and I think they eventually got into actual cell phones, like, but yeah, they had a lot of stuff going on.
But I think the difference is that P. Diddy and Jay-Z are still successful.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Obviously there is the rise reality and fall. When you try to do a lot, sometimes you fall. Like, I mean, he never went into MC Hammer status. He just
bite off more than you can chew.
Yeah, he just receded back into a manageable level of riches. But he's still he's still living large, but he's just not at the forefront of music anymore. But,
and of course, the music wasn't as good.
Yeah, I mean,
it was fine for the time.
I will often revisit a lot of my No Limit favorites, like even from some of the side acts. I don't want to play it. Maybe I'll add it to the intro of our audio version. But there's a song by this artist Mercedes, who was on No Limit, and the hook basically goes, "You don't gotta say too much from the look in your eyes. I can tell you wanna fuck." But yeah, it's one of my favorites that I was introduced to in junior high school, I believe. Because this Mexican girl who rode the bus with me, she was always singing. I was just like, what is that song?
1997, 96.
Yeah, so Mercedes featuring Mac, I believe, is the song. This is the artist, and I think the song is called I Can Tell, but I'll go to that on YouTube and just blast it at home.
Well, memories.
But yeah.
Chance the Rapper is going to be, he's going to be at Lollapalooza on Saturday, headlining.
Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
I thought that Lollapalooza was past. But I don't know.
Every August, you're not down with it.
Yeah, I don't keep up with all these things. So, you know, another entity that hosts a festival every year is the iHeartMedia/iHeartRadio company. They have their festival now, but. It seems like their parent company is in trouble. Have you seen this? You heard about this?
Now, is this like iHeart, like the whole entire like company, like the radio company?
Yeah, that's what I've seen, because I saw
it was, them good.
Yeah, I saw it post.
Happy.
Yeah, because like they're the biggest radio conglomerate, I think, in the world, but for sure in the United States. They
killing radio.
Yeah. So
been doing it for about 15 years.
Yeah, so I've seen a few people like, because we're connected in radio, and I've seen some people from Columbia that were like, good.
Like, exactly, good.
Like maybe some actual
cheap asses.
Yeah, maybe will actually have jobs available specifically cutter, in this market instead of
cookie cutter radio stations.
Yeah, it's just like
kiss my ass FM.
Yeah, it's just like, hey. This works in this one market. Spread it out to the whole nation and fire everybody else. It's just like, oh, that was the the worst thing that happened to radio.
Were you friends, or did you like know people that ended up working at like Kiss FM, like the DJ?
I'm pretty sure I know a couple of people. I know. I mean, I don't know them closely, but I've met.
They were all
Zachary a couple of times.
That's why I'm mentioning that.
Well, I shouldn't have mentioned anybody by name, but the one person I could think of, he seems like a cool dude, but I don't like the structure of formerly Clear Channel / iHeartRadio. I've always felt like it was equivalent
stupid.
To yeah, but I've always felt like it was equivalent to Evil Corp from the show Mr. Robot. It's just like this huge corporate evil. Yeah. The fall of the giant that is iHeartMedia is I don't mind it. And I always thought it was weird because I never followed like the behind the scenes of it. It's just like to me, iHeartRadio was just this app that was like a funnel for all these stations. Then all of a sudden iHeartMedia is the company in charge of all these stations. It's just like I didn't.
Yeah.
It's just like
formerly
okay,
Clear Channel.
Yeah, they bought Clear Channel, and then they assumed their position as rulers of the world. So that
I just thought it was
overdue.
It was bad because like each of their radio stations are all in every like major city in America.
Yeah.
Or any city in America, they were all cookie cutter.
They're the same.
They had the same like. The same intros and outros, the commercials, the same promos, like
same voices on the
imaging. What's it called? Voice track or not voice tracking, but where they have like somebody in Dallas hosting a morning show in like, you know, LA or
it's the worst.
Des Moines.
Yeah. Like it wasn't like in the olden days of the fly jock Tom Joyner, who would literally fly from Texas to whatever. I think he would fly across the country every day to host two different morning shows.
But that just feels painful.
Yeah, it was like instead they would just simulcast him in two different markets, and local talent was sitting at home unemployed. So
on the beach.
Yeah, on the beach. That's one of the things I like about radio, other than like the horrible job security and low pay for a lot of work. But the one thing I like about it is some of the insider jargon and terminology. Like when someone says they're on the beach, I always thought that was interesting. Yeah, it was a cool euphemistic way to say I have no job right now. Because there's a whole, I think, what is it? It's one of those industry websites that has an on the beach section. It's just like all these people looking for jobs.
Just Chicagoland, like, with the TV.
Yeah, Chicagoland Radio and Media. And I think the All Access or whatever that site is. I think they have an on the beach section too. But like, I like having this little inside vocabulary. It makes me feel part of the community, even once I've been fired from the community. Except for like, I guess I'm not really in radio because they say you haven't been in radio until you've been fired 3 times, I think they say, but I just quit a couple times.
So did I.
So maybe,
yeah, exactly.
Maybe that doesn't qualify.
Like the two radio jobs I had, I just quit.
Yeah.
Cause I hated working there.
Yeah. So
I'll ask you about those Clear Channel people, like before we're done.
Off the air.
To protect the innocent.
Yeah. Oh, you just reminded me of Fargo, which started up, was it last week? But they start off every episode by saying, this is a true story. For the sake of to respect the dead, we've changed the names. And it's like to respect the views of the families, we've changed the names. For the sake of the dead, everything else is real, but except none of the stuff is real, but that's how they open up every episode. So yeah, to protect the innocent, we will, talk that radio talk.
They're not innocent. They're not innocent, but we're just covering our asses. We don't want to deal with any
backlash. Blowback. Yeah.
As if they listen to this fucking podcast.
Yeah. 7 years ago, it might've been a possibility, but no. Not so much. Everybody's got a podcast, including some who, I'll leave it there. Moving on. Speaking of people going out of business, it seems to be a lot of stores closing, and so much so that it was covered on CNN Money. Like, a lot of stores are in trouble.
Gee, do you think that, like, Amazon and, like, online stores have something to do with that?
That is the funny thing about that is the reason given in most of these stories. But you know what I'll say about it?
What?
It's that customer service these days fucking sucks.
Yes, like, it does.
Like, people don't know how to take care of a customer or even give them the most basic level of human decency. Just like,
hey, I'm sorry, we ain't got that. Have a nice day.
Yeah, because it's not about you, like, jumping on top of me and be like, do you need something when I walk in the door? You don't need to do that. But, like, when I look for somebody to ask for help, when I've given up on figuring out this maze of a store that you have where things that logically should be next to each other are not in the same vicinity. Like, when I look for somebody, I don't want you to look at me and then go hide in the back. Like,
yeah, go talk to their fucking coworkers.
Yeah, it's just like you are at work. Like, I don't understand. Like, it's been a long time since I worked in retail, but when I did back in 2002, I worked at Target. I didn't want to be there. Yeah, I didn't want to be there. But, like, if somebody asked me a question, just like, okay, let me help you out with that. Even if I didn't know what they were looking for, it was in a different department.
Just
walk
into the,
yeah, just like, okay, I think that's in this area, and let me figure it out with you, or at least try. Or like, oh, I know this person knows about it, so let me ask them, and then I'll pass you off to them. But it's just like, people don't even attempt to help you nowadays. It's just like, sometimes I'll wander around certain stores, not to name names, because I'm still looking for sponsors. Go to advertisecast.com and look for a Frustrated Grad podcast. But, like, certain stores, I'll just wander around. It's just like, does anybody work here? And people get mad about self-checkouts and stuff like that. But it's like, well, when you have, on one hand,
dumbasses who work there.
Yeah, you have dumbass cashiers, and you have to deal with people who, due to certain circumstances, don't know how to complete a transaction for some reason. It's just like, maybe you should put all of your stuff on the conveyor belt before it goes through. It's just like taking your sweet ass time, taking yourself out of your cart. So, like, a lot of automation is going to take the place of people, and it's through their own fault of not really knowing how to handle things. So that's why a lot of these stores are closing.
One thing that, like, some of these stores that are, like, having financial issues, like Sears and Kmart,
yeah,
they don't have any sales. Like, they fucking suck every time I go in there.
Yeah, it was like Kmart used Walmart to be, like, one of
their asses.
Yeah, like, Walmart is, like, they're the discount leader at this point. In, like, I would say it always comes down to, like, Walmart versus Target for me. They're, like, the two top companies, obviously. But it's just like,
do you ever find good sales at Target?
I don't. Well, like, in my forever hunt of post holiday candy sales, I rack up at Target. But
I,
like,
agree with that.
But I will say, like, to counter, like, okay, Walmart has the deep discounts. That's their angle. And you have to deal with a lot of other unnecessary, undesirable things to get those deep discounts. But, like, I feel like where Target counters them, like, they don't have the discounts, but to make up for it, they have quality. Like,
yes, they do.
Like, you're paying more.
I will agree with that.
You're paying a premium, but you're paying because you're getting something better, or you're getting a better experience. You're not going to get choked out in the middle of the aisle in a Target, most likely.
I feel like the clientele at Walmart
is
kind of,
it's like, you filter your experience by adding a premium up front. So that's kind of the trade-off there.
And I find that I will buy I'll feel more inclined to buy like electronics or at least like Blu-rays and
I wouldn't trust anything I bought from Walmart. It's just like, okay, if this breaks, what the hell do I do? Or if I want to return, will this person like chew their gum and just look at me like I'm speaking another language? It's just like there's some companies you don't trust with important things. Like, okay, I want to get cheap toothpaste, I'll go to Walmart. Yeah, but if I'm buying something for over $100, I don't trust Walmart.
No, it's so, either like Best Buy or Amazon.
Yeah, so it's just like that's the trade-off there. But a lot of these companies are closing. Like one of the ones I heard about most recently was JCPenney, and like that's no surprise to me because I haven't been to JCPenney a lot. But there was a certain period where, like,
there's only like one JCPenney that I go to that's near me.
Yeah, and it's gonna, the nearest one is gonna become farther and farther away for a lot of people.
Exactly.
But it's just like a few of them that I've been to haven't had the best customer service. Plus, this is like, who really is going into a JCPenney every week to like provide them the income that they need to stay open, at least to the point where they were? Because there used to be a lot of JCPenney's. Like in every mall, there was a JCPenney. Then there, in between, there were the standalone ones. But like now, there's fewer and fewer of those. And like I feel like it's leveled off to like, okay, this is what we needed as far as their placement. Because like I don't think to myself that often, like, oh, I need to run to JCPenney and get some new graphic tees or anything like that. Like now,
some jeans.
Yeah, like most recently, like half of my wardrobe was coming from subscription boxes. And it's like, if I wanted to buy something nowadays, I probably would just get online before I would think to go to JCPenney. So
for me, I think it's like Amazon, Old Navy, the Levi's store.
Yeah.
And that's probably it.
Yeah. Because as I found out on Facebook, Tony Hoffman has to shop around for jeans to fit his ample thigh.
Mm-hmm. I can't buy them American Apparel.
Yeah,
Urban, them skinny ass Urban Outfitter jeans.
What I should write one of those clickbait titles for my future fake news website is just like, one of our hosts is thick AF. You won't believe who it is.
Which one?
But yeah.
Is it a girl?
Like, spoilers, it's not.
But yeah. Do you remember Circuit City?
I do. There was one not too far from me, and I love Circuit City.
I bought my first CD player from there in 1998.
I can't remember where I bought my first CD player, but I know I think I bought my first two CDs there. I bought Dr. Dre's The Chronic, and I bought bought Brandy's album. I can't remember the title. It was whatever Brandy album was out at the time. I think it had the song I Want to Be Down on it. And I think I bought Monica's album not too far away from that point, where it's just one of them days. But
don't
yeah,
take it personal.
I had eclectic music taste at the time, but yeah.
I'm trying to remember, like, just a side note, like, when we saw Space Jam, like, when we were kids, like, I bought the Space Jam cassette, the soundtrack. I don't remember where I bought it from.
I know whatever FYE was, I bought a fair amount of
coconuts,
CDs.
Coconuts.
Was FYE Coconuts? I thought it was like, I know in my mall, it was like Saturday Entertainment or some weird name. It was like Saturday Entertainment and Movies or Saturday, I forget. It was Saturday something, but
yeah,
it's a weird title like that.
FYE, Coconuts with the precursor to FYE.
Yeah, so like I went to that store in the mall. It's funny because it's in the same position in the mall at River Oaks, but it's just the name has changed over time. Just like Electronics Boutique eventually changed to EB Games, and then it changed to GameStop, and it's still in that same spot in the mall. So
KB Toys.
KB Toys, does that exist anymore? Because I know the one in my mall is gone. It's like a dollar store now, which is weird to see like regular ass stores, like dollar stores in the mall. It's just like,
it's Five Below.
Weird. I love Five Below. Five Below is like my favorite store.
You bastard.
Hey, you can get some quality stuff for cheap. These headphones that I'm wearing right now, I'm pretty sure I got them from Five Below for our viewers out there.
And they have a big selection of candy. At Five Below.
See, that's the thing that I actually avoid at Five Below, because it's like, well, like
all this junk, all this pop.
Because I don't want to ask the person, like, okay, is this $5 or is this $3? Or is it $1? Like, because I got one of
these lemon heads.
Yeah, I got one of the like Super Mario character candy containers or whatever, and it was $5. It was like, I'll stay away from that, because like I know what I want to buy and what is worth the top of that Five Below price point for me. But I'm willing to go pretty low for candy. So I'll stay away from the candy because I don't want to be surprised by anything. Yeah. But yeah, recently I haven't brought it down here, but I got like this giant foam, Legos that they have now. Where you can basically like build a wall of Legos, Mexican border wall of Legos. So I got one of those, just like a big squishy.
That you paid for.
Yeah, it's a big squishy Lego. It's blue, TARDIS blue, my favorite blue. But I need to bring that as a part of my background to decorate the lovely studio down here. But yeah, Five Below, I'm all on board. They need to enhance their online store, because I think you still have to pay, I think it's $5 shipping, but like I wouldn't order anything from there unless I got like a massive order, and then
will they help tack that $5. Buy stuff online from Five Below. Take your ass to the mall. Save money.
I don't have one mall. I have to go to, it's a little bit of a drive for me to get to my closest Five Below, I do ball out when I go there. Like it's
Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah.
jumping through the coins.
Yeah. I dive into a pool of headphones. Just like I have so many headphones from Five Below. There's a bucket of tangled wires and things in front of me right now. And there's at least 4 pairs of Five Below headphones in here, but they're all tangled and other stuff.
They may not be the best quality, but you got a lot of them.
I mean, for what I've paid for them, I think I've only broken 2 pairs out of like the 30 or 40 pairs that I've bought. So I still have them all. They said right now it's sounding pretty good. I'm wearing them now. So, I'm pretty on board. I would say like, okay, there's the Five Below level of headphones. Like, this lets you in on how cheap I am.
The life of Zach.
Like, the mid-level headphones that I have are the ones I have from Five Below. The premium headphones that I have are the ones I've bought from Big Lots. Like, those are the ones I've spent $15 on. So those are the ones I consider top-quality headphones.
Sony?
No, I don't even know what the brand is. I had a pair. I don't think they're still down here, but there was JVC? A pair with the big old cups on them. I think, no, these are
Skull Candy.
I have some Skull Candy, but I just have earbuds from Skull Candy. But yeah, there's a few. I think I have some. It's weird because like Five Below has all the random headphones that are brands you've never heard of. But Big Lots will have brands of headphones that from companies you didn't know made headphones. Like I have some Kodak headphones that are they're like I didn't know you guys made headphones, but they're all right. But yeah. So
speaking of stores that are going out of business, I still can't believe that Toys R Us is still in business.
I'm surprised too. The weird thing for in this area of the South suburbs that I'm in. There was this huge Toys R Us that was like next to Walmart, and it just closed unexpectedly, and it turned into Foreman Mills, or as the commercials say, Foreman Mills.
What do they sell at Foreman Mills? This random shit.
It's just like a Ross. It's just like they sell they sell discount clothes,
furniture
basically.
And clothes and shit.
Yeah, but it's weird because it's shaped the exact same way as the Toys R Us that used to be there, because it just had like, you know how I think a lot of them are built this way. They have just like this giant glass wall with like the grids on it. And it's just, they just put Foreman Mills on top of it instead of.
Is it like when you're in like some like ghetto neighborhood and you can tell like this place used to be like a Wendy's or this place used to be a Burger King?
Yeah, like it.
This gas station.
It's shaped like a Wendy's, but now it's a Harold's or whatever. Or usually like J&J Fish will go into like these odd shaped places. Like, I guess you guys don't have any standard shape, huh? it's shaped like I've. There was a, I'm trying to think what was the restaurant, but there was some like small restaurant around the corner from me.
Docks Fish.
I don't think it was a Docks, but it had some distinctive weird shape, but then it changed into, well, I know there's another one that it was actually a KFC, and it changed into like a title loan place, but they still had the drive through window. It's just like, you gonna do a drive through title loan? Is that a thing? It's just like, because it was actually the KFC that I originally worked at was my first job, and it had turned into a title loan place. It's like, it's very weird that you have that window.
Coleslaw with your title loan.
Yeah, like, can I get a biscuit with this loan? That's extra, and there's double the interest on the biscuit.
Down the street, there was this place that was, they built like a Long John / I think it's like an A&W diner burger place or whatever. And like it closed after a year, and then they turned into like a Jamaican jerk chicken place.
I mean, that should be fancy for a jerk chicken place. That's pretty big, right?
And now it's like a fucking beauty supply, hair supply place.
Oh,
I've that are very common in black neighborhoods. But go on.
Yeah, if you don't drive a lot, but if you'll see one of these places, they used to be a Best Buy along the. Expressway around the south side, but now it's a beauty supply. It's like a ginormous beauty supply. I was just
that
like
big giant Best Buy.
Yeah, it was. It's. I'm trying to think. It's right around the Chatham neighborhood, but like it used to be a Best Buy, and then now there's a big sign on it. This is whatever beauty. I was just like, wow,
this is
a really successful beauty supply if they were able to occupy a former Best Buy. But yeah, good for them. I think it's like. Is it like Cali Beauty or something? It's some weird name like
something
that. But
like that. Sally's Beauty or whatever.
It's one of those. But it's just funny seeing the ways people recycle businesses. There's one business that I was really sad to see go in my neighborhood. It was a Maxwell Street restaurant.
Polish.
Yeah. Super cheap. They actually had chicken Polish, which I had never seen anywhere. She's like, I fell in love with this place, and it just like closed on me. Like, I think they moved to a different location. They said our new location is such and such address, but they're in Chicago. Like, I'm not going to Chicago I'll miss you, but goddamn, that's a little bit of a hike. But now somebody is, occupying this place. It looks like it's going to be a rib place, but they put their new sign up next to the Maxwell sign and didn't take it down yet, and it's like their new sign is like a third of the size of the Maxwell sign, so I don't really get what's going on there, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah, well, I mentioned coconuts earlier, man. I miss like walking through like coconuts and like any like music store, just sort of like walking around just like looking at the CDs and just sort of like shopping and sampling.
Yeah, every now and then I will go into the FYE at River Oaks, but now I haven't bought CDs in like decades. Nah. But
damn it, what was the last CD I bought?
I bought Kanye's first album on CD.
College Dropout.
Yeah, and may have bought a Snoop Dogg album some point after that. But yeah, it's been quite a while. And then, like like, I was pretty proud of my CD collection at one point. I had, like, one of those big, huge CD booklet things, and I had, like, 300 CDs, and they were all stolen. I had them in the back of my car, and I...
Motherfuckers.
When I was living... they were actually in my trunk, and somebody broke into my car when I was living on the beautiful Gold Coast in Chicago, which I thought was... When I thought I was actually parked next to the FFC gym, that super expensive gym, which place you would think would have like cameras on the outside. But
you were the rich people. They were poor. They were robbing the rich people.
Yeah, like it's weird to think that somebody could like break into a car on the like a super busy street, and like nobody's just like, that looks odd. It's like, all right.
Well, I don't know if you been paying attention to the news the past year or so, but like them like robberies or smash and grabs deals,
yeah, they're becoming like more and more frequent,
yeah,
like on the Mag Miles, like,
yeah, exactly,
ridiculous.
Fur stores and jewelry stores and the Apple store and all this shit.
Yeah. Transitioning back into our regularly scheduled program, you mentioned Apple. Apple has a little show that they were planning on doing.
That stupid ass James Corden.
Yeah.
Little bit.
Which is.
That I never watched. I've never seen a single one of them.
It's so weird. It's. And I guess I'm a hypocrite by thinking this, but a lot of the hatred that people have for like Jimmy Fallon, I have that same hatred for James Corden. Because a lot of people say Jimmy Fallon seems fake and
he's pandering to.
Pandering him. And stuff like that, but like. I feel like he's being genuine, but it really seems to me that James Corden is living up to that fakeness that everybody claims Jimmy Fallon has. Like, I just feel like all of this is for basically clickbait. It's just like, okay, who can I get on this show to put on this thumbnail that people will click on? Just like, okay, here's Madonna. Here's Madonna in a video where you click on it to hear her sing one of her famous hits, but you'll hear my horrible voice instead.
So it's like, it's called carpool karaoke, but it's just them driving for no reason.
Yeah, they're not going anywhere. This is like, carpool would suggest that you're going to work, but this is the work. So it's not really a carpool, it's just random... road trip karaoke,
and they're lip syncing their own songs.
Yeah,
just sounds stupid.
Yeah, this is one of those.
Why is this popular?
To me, it is the epitome of like a forced meme, because I don't think it's something that like blew up. It's just a thing that is like, you know what? I'm gonna do this every week, and it's going to get popular just by being ubiquitous. Just like, this is one of those things that. Like another, like in, I don't want to age myself, but I'll just say in a previous era of like late night, talk show hosts, you would see them try something like this once and then maybe you'll see it again like a month later. But this was clearly like a targeted thing. Like, okay, this is a segment on our show and we're going to do it every week. People are going to love it. We're going to make sure they love. Just like, maybe you should just let it breathe a little bit. Because, like, I see one of these pop up in my timeline all the time. And now he does the, like, the fake battle rap thing. I haven't even tried to watch one of those. But I just feel like I would peel my skin off if I was ever exposed to whatever the hell they do during these.
Do you watch that goddamn... was that show that's on Spike TV?
The Lip Sync Battle. There's actually been some entertaining clips from that show. It's like,
it depends on who they're actually.
Yeah, it depends on the celebrities and what covers they're doing, and they actually do a lot of work. It's like they have a whole wardrobe department and all this stuff.
Production and like choreography. And
So this is like James Corden's super lazy version of that, and it's just like, okay. The real appeal of these carpool karaoke's are the actual singers that you're in the car with. So you really could just get out of the car and would enhance the quality of the video by 1,000%. Just like, I would like this, but like, get rid of James Corden. Like, if one of these, any one of these stars decided, like, I'm just going to do this on my own, it would be like 1,000 times better. But I guess maybe that was supposed to be the idea of this Apple show, Carpool Karaoke. Maybe it was going to have a different host, but,
apparently, sounds- like, they, whatever little previews that they have, like, it just wasn't, it looks terrible, so they just decided to shelve it.
Yeah, and, hopefully they shelve it permanently, because, like, this is one of those things where it's like, I could see the trajectory of, like, okay, lip sync battle was a thing that Jimmy Fallon did on his show. And then there was obviously, like, oh, there's more we could do with this if we put more production into it, and we could make it a thing on its own. But I never thought of this Carpool Karaoke. It's like, oh, you know, I want to watch a whole half-hour show of just people in the car singing. Like,
God, that's, damn it, just torture.
Yeah, like, there's no there there. It's like, the idea starts and ends with this little segment on this show, and it should stay there.
It would, like, lip sync battle, like, you have, like, bragging rights and, like,
yeah,
you have, like, audience participation and
yeah,
stuff.
It's just like, what
who is better?
Like, what are we supposed to get out of this, watching people in their car singing for their own entertainment? Like, okay. So, I mean, I guess it's extra hypocritical of me as a person who produces a lot of content from inside my car, but I don't force you to listen to my singing voice outside of the brief interlude during this podcast. Anyway.
Watch any TV? I know that you briefly, you mentioned you watched Fargo. Did you, have you caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Not yet. I've been, like, juggling all kinds of different stuff because I decided... Because I have a huge backlog of stuff I haven't watched from, like, a year ago.
Zombie.
Yeah. Like, I haven't watched the most recent iZombie, but I watched one from last week. And it was like, okay, I need to give a show a chance that I have, like, completely abandoned. So I decided to watch an episode of Doctor Who from last season.
I have
season.
Not watched a single episode of this new season. I just don't
like,
care.
Like, the little bit that I've seen of this, like, new companion, it's like, okay, I kind of want to know what she's like, because I'm so tired of the previous companion. Like, now I'm forgetting her name. Claire Oswald. Like,
yeah.
This show was so weird. Like, the previous two seasons, pretty much, with Clara as the companion, like, she's, like, threatened to quit on several occasions, which is weird. Just like, oh, this is going to be my last trip. And then for some reason she comes back. Just like, it doesn't make sense in the context of the show. So like, I can't wait for her to just be gone. Cause like, I never thought about it until this point, but it's just like, she's going to go down as, like, my least favorite companion just because of, like, how inconsistent she was. Like, she's one of the cuter ones, but it's just like her adventures that she's been on haven't been very interesting. They've just been like rehashes of stuff he's done with, Billy Piper, the original, the first companion, and with Amy, just go like, oh, here's the Daleks again. Here's the Cybermen again. So
it's bigger on the inside.
Yeah. That's what she said. Boom. Yeah. So yeah, I can't wait for her to be gone, and maybe they're going to do some more interesting stuff with this black lesbian companion, whatever her name is.
Just black
lesbian. This is her name, black lesbian. Like, hello, my name is Blesbian. But yeah.
I'm just waiting for, like, I know, like, the master comes back, Missy, and then, like,
I like Missy.
The other master, the one, the actor's name is John Simons from David Tennant's era is supposed to be showing up.
I think, I don't know if it was his last episode, but just the one where he, like, he replaced everyone, where everybody just had his head.
That was
like so creepy. Just like
Barack Obama.
Yeah, like, and then everybody has his face. It's just like that. Yeah, I want to get back to that era of Doctor Who.
Russell
that was like
T. Davies.
Yeah, that was like my favorite era of Doctor Who. Like, and everything was connected. That's the biggest problem I'm having with this modern Doctor Who. It's just like, what happened to all these people? Like, where's Captain Jack? You would occasionally see, I keep forgetting her character name, but Billie Piper would come back every now and then, even though she's trapped in a separate, Rose Tyler. She would come back, even though she's in a pocket universe, and she's got Time Lord version of the David Tennant Doctor, just like, okay, he could be your boyfriend now. It's just like, I'll leave him here. I want to get back to that stuff.
I'm just waiting for him to regenerate. I know that happens at some point.
I wanted to like this version of the Doctor, but he's just been kind of a weird angle on it. And I wanted to believe in the conspiracy of him being connected to the character from World War Z, because he was in the movie and he worked for the World Health Organization, WHO, which I always think is funny. Like, oh, there's an organization called WHO, and the person who was now the Doctor worked for them in a movie. So I wanted that to be a thing, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I'm just not feeling it. There's just nothing. It's from like the reviews of the episodes. I was boring as fuck.
Yeah, another show. Like I said before, I watched the first episode of Fargo. Probably after this podcast, I'm gonna watch the second one. But
did you watch that show Class that comes on after
Class?
After Who?
Oh, that it was a spinoff. Did that started already?
Yeah, I believe so. I think it started like when Doctor Who started a couple weeks ago.
I guess I gotta check that out. It's like for like the spinoffs of Doctor Who shows have never been like they've never gotten the publicity that Doctor Who has. Like I thought Torchwood was really good, and it's just like I had to discover that on my own just through watching going back through old episodes. So
that first season pretty good.
Yeah, it's just like the whole. Like how the cinematography was completely different. It just felt like another show, but you could see the connections. Like I miss something like that. And it wasn't like a huge thing like the Marvel Universal shows. It's just like, okay, this is a slick show that has its own personality and then it's connected to this broader thing. But hopefully Class will be something like that. Although I don't think there's going to be like CSI type murders in this show based on elementary school. But yeah. Another show that's in the works is a show based on the Titans team.
The Titans team.
Yeah. Teen Titans was on Cartoon Network, and it sounds like there's a live action version of show based on those characters with Robin and Kid Flash and some of those
Beast
other
characters. Boy, yeah. Shit.
So like that would be an interesting show, I think, if they were to actually
get
do
it right.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I would say for the most part, DC TV has been good. I don't really care about Legends of Tomorrow. I feel like this should really take the place of a show like that, like a show with a big cast that is connected to this greater DC TV universe. Legends of Tomorrow is just like, I feel like it's just a misfire because like random characters from other shows who could be better used on those shows still. But so hopefully this is a better version of that.
And this won't be on TV. It's going to be on some digital streaming service that DC is going to come up with.
It doesn't sound good because like people don't usually allocate that much of a budget to shows that aren't on television. So that's already something that's worrisome. So I guess we'll see how that ends up panning out. Another show that just like came out of nowhere. There's a show called Krypton that's coming on Sci-Fi. Supposed to be basically telling the story of like Superman's grandfather, I believe.
Yeah, not his father.
Yeah,
his grandfather.
So this is gonna be like way before the destruction of Krypton, and and anything that we would recognize from the Superman story is just going to be like, okay, we're going to watch these people live out their lives when we know they're doomed.
They're all going to die. Yeah. I was reading some article about this, and they were like making jokes like it'll be like, five episodes before they bring like the baby or the
oh yeah
teen it, version of like
it's gonna end up being Gotham
Lex Luthor
Lex Luthor on Krypton like
and
what
Brainiac and
like yeah. Here's the secret origin of Lex Luthor. He was born on Krypton, but he doesn't know it. Somehow he was implanted into a fetus on Earth.
Those Gotham jokes that made me laugh.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, at least that being that Kal-El was not even born yet, or Kal-El's dad was not even born yet.
It doesn't matter.
Timey-wimey. We're going to get a small cameo from Clark Kent of the future, travel back in time to try to save
Perry
his
White,
ancestors.
The editor.
Perry White, who, it's funny, guy who plays Perry White in Smallville ends up being Jimmy Olsen in Batman vs. Superman. And he also plays a lizard man on a show on TBS, People of Earth. So he's all around the alien universe, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I'm showing up.
You mentioned Gotham. Are you still watching Gotham?
Yeah, I haven't gotten back into this new season just because like I'm behind on everything. But like nobody likes Gotham, but I enjoy it.
I just don't hear anything about it.
I think it's just a fun, dumb show. I wish it was connected. I wish it was
That's
connected,
not what
but
we wanted.
Like...
Would it premiere?
Yeah, I feel like they need to fast forward a little bit, but I guess you have to do this in real time because kids only grow at the rate that they do. Maybe they could do like a time jump and recast at some point. But
people,
I would like to see young Batman.
People were excited about this show because there was like a comic series called, called Gotham PD.
Yeah, Gotham City PD or something like that.
Where it followed like Commissioner Gordon and the Gotham Police Department and like the cases that they solved and stuff. And people thought that this was what the show was going to be instead of what it ended up being.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes you get what you get.
Yeah. Muppet Baby versions of our favorite Batman characters.
Bat Muppet Babies. Okay. I think we are just about ready to wrap up because we've gone longer than we usually do. And I don't want to oversaturate us.
Sure.
I want to make this episode feel like it's gone 100 days.
There's a WWE pay-per-view that I won't be watching because my network subscription ended and I don't give a shit about this pay-per-view.
Yeah, I don't even think it's much to even get into, really. Because I can't remember the card.
Yeah, I know that you have... Kevin Owens and fucking Chris Jericho are gonna be fighting for the U.S. title and some shit and someone's gonna squat and like take a shit in the middle of the ring and
yeah with that just leave it there and that's our preview of WWE Payback.
Enzo and Cass versus Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson for the just a random match, I guess. For the kickoff.
Yeah, nothing. There's the House of Horrors match. What are you expecting from that?
Whatever the fuck.
Spooky shit.
Is it gonna be like in the ring, or is it gonna be like some adjacent?
I guess it's supposed to start in the House of Horrors, which has clearly been pre-taped, and it's going to end in the ring. So there you go. I don't think there's anything else to talk about on this pay-per-view. Watch it or don't.
But The Miz is interviewing Finn Balor on the kickoff show.
Yep, great use of both of those talents. there's nothing important about this pay-per-view. Okay, to close out, we will touch on something. I just saw this randomly on Twitter, but here's a question for you. If you woke up in the year 2100, what would be the first Google search that you would make?
Well, assuming that the world still exists after this administration, I guess I would see if family members, I would just look up as much information as I could on family members. I would look up nude photos for my favorite actresses. I would see the movies that I missed and I don't know.
Yeah.
What would you do?
See, your first mention was family members, and it shows which of the two hosts on this podcast is a good person, which one is Zach Hughes.
That was
afterwards. My very first thought when I saw this post on Twitter was, the Google search that I would type in first was Avengers Infinity War full movie, full movie. It would be my very first instinct, because like I've said many times on this podcast, I just want to live long enough to see the culmination of this Infinity War, and I get more and more worried about it as time goes on. It's just like, come on already. But I'm excited for Guardians of the Galaxy next week, and if I do not get unfortunately shot before that point, then I'll be on board for those five post-credit scenes.
Thanos.
Yeah. It's going to be Thanos, and then baby Thanos, and then Mrs. Thanos. I'm thinking of what five things can they put into this, into these Nebula post-credits. Yeah, sure. So, I'm excited for that. And, as your excitement builds for GOTG 2, or GOTG V2, where can people reach out to you on the social medias?
They can reach out and touch at Anthony Hoffman. That's my Twitter handle. You can find me on Facebook. Just look up Anthony Hoffman. And my Instagram profile name thingy is Tony Hoffman Chi, Tony Hoffman Chi.
And I am on Twitter at Zach from Chicago. That's Zac from Chicago. I am on YouTube at youtube.com/Zach Hughes and facebook.com/Zach Hughes. You can find the podcast on Twitter at twitter.com/frustratedgrad, or just type in at frustratedgrad. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/frustratedgrads, and you can listen to the audio version of the podcast on iTunes, Google Play Podcasts, Stitcher, and frustratedgrad.com. And as I say every week, or I'm starting to say every week, if you like what we're doing, give us a review on iTunes. And if you really like what we're doing, then go to frustratedgrad.com, hit that PayPal link, and donate whatever you feel appropriate. So with that, that is it for this episode of the Frustrated Grad podcast. Thanks for watching, if you're watching online. Thanks for listening, and that's all you get for today. All right, and now it's bonus time. Let's go for a quick one, since I feel like we ran a little bit long today. But what would you say would be a good all-encompassing title for this episode?
Five Below.
Five Below. I love Five Below. It's just, I love Five Below. Would be a great time. Something about stores closing. I'm trying to think of what is some of our topics.
Talk about dear white people.
Yeah. Dear white people. Dear retail people.
Netflix.
Netflix and
steel. Hackers.
Netflix and steel. What about that?
Netflix and steel.
Netflix and hack. Trying to see. Everything must go.
Okay. Shop Five Below.
Shop Five Below. Everything must go. They're not paying us, so maybe should pull back from. They better pay us eventually. But hey, Five Below, where you at? Let me see. Oh, I even noticed you put the Roseanne story in there. I'm ready for more Roseanne. Except for the show became extremely unrelatable because they won the lottery.
The lottery. They won the last couple of seasons sucked because they won the lottery. And then the last episode. Yeah, the last episode, she was just a writer and the whole show was just her, her book or whatever. And
Dan, is that what it was?
Died. Yeah.
Really?
That was the whole epilogue or whatever.
You know, the funny thing about it was, I've heard some stories. I don't know how accurate these are, but the story was that, I guess Tom Arnold and the writers of Roseanne, the other writers, they kept pushing against her because she wanted to have them win the lottery very early in the series. And they pushed against it because, they would make the show unrelatable. And then, it happened and the show was unrelatable.
Stupid.
I fell out of love with the show after that point.
Yeah, she fired her writing staff, her head writers every year and shit.
Yeah, it just seemed like probably a nightmare of a job. But glad we got to touch on that in bonus time. So that's an audio exclusive. But let me see. Let me see.
Silk the Shocker, Five Below.
Silk the Rapper. Maybe that's why I associate them together too, because they both have the something in their name, Chance the Rapper, Silk the Shocker, Offbeat the Rapper,
Silk the Rapper.
Silk the Rapper. I don't mind that. Silk the Rapper. It sounds like a delicious chocolate bar, Silk the Rapper. Yeah, let's do that. Silk the Rapper, spelled S-Y-L-K-K. I believe that's how he spells his name. So, this episode is going to be called Silk the Rapper. Tweet at us with the hashtag Silk the Rapper. Or you could tweet Chance the Shocker if you want to. So with that, Chance the Shocker. That sounds like a dangerous night at a frat house or something. I Chance the Shocker. And you won't believe what happened. So with that, this is the official end of the audio exclusive portion of the Frustrated Grad podcast. If you hung out, thanks for staying in there and keep on rocking in the free world.